To a very special episode of The Craft. My name is Nick Pollock, and today we are doing the live broadcast podcast of The Craft, where I've brought in this lovely guest named Eno Saris. Welcome, Eno. Thank you for coming. And
Thank you.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's the best. He's the one that you just, I feel like, man, I need a guest, and I just got to send him a text, like, hey, you got some time? I really want to have you on for The Craft. He goes, oh man, I don't ever want to go on that show. Are you sure? That's what Eno says to me. No, what we're doing right now is we are watching a live baseball game. This is the Yankees and the Mariners, and we're going to do play-by-play and color commentary. I'm going to do the play-by-play. You want to hear Eno? Absolutely. I want to hear Eno. So he's going to be doing the color commentary. But it's really just going to be us laying back and enjoying a game, but talking about, of course, baseball on the fly with it. You know, kind of like what we really want from broadcasters, feel like they're in the room with us and you're just there to talk baseball with people who enjoy the game. So before we continue, Eno, have you done anything like this before?
I got to do this sort of thing for an A's cast, and I'm trying to think of, who was the pitcher? It was this classic pitcher that had been a sinker guy and tried to add a four seam, been all around the league and came back to the A's. It'll come to me eventually. I'll come up with it.
It's like Dan Straley.
Somebody like that. But it was fun because we talked about pitch types and we talked about stuff. And I was used as kind of the nerd in the room. I don't know what to do here. We got two nerds in the room.
Yeah, right. This is the nerd cast. That's what we should call it. I mean, I don't even want to say that because that means that you're just going to hear numbers this entire time and you're not. You know, if you've listened to The Craft before, you know that we are all about what it means to be a pitcher. And obviously numbers are good ways for us to understand the quality of a thing, this or that. But there's so much more to it. And I think that's what I really enjoy talking to you a lot, you know, is there is all these little extra factors than just looking at Stuff Plus, right? Than just saying, oh, this guy's projected ERA is this or that. That is, yes, we can do that, but you can look at that on, you know, many sites and a spreadsheet. What we want to show you is the little things that go on during the game and just like, yeah, hang out with us with it. So today we have Will Warren versus Luis Castillo, two guys on a completely separate journeys. One who is just trying to establish himself inside the Yankee rotation and get his footing in the majors with a promising arsenal. And another who has been a big name in the majors for a long time, but is showcasing signs of degradation that we are concerned could be more than that. So I want to start with Castillo, who is the latter there. What are you seeing right now from Luis Castillo, and what do you expect us to see today in this game in Seattle against the Yankees?
He's such an excellent pitcher, and he's always been so excellent at home that I think he's going to have a good game. You know, these flaws that we're talking about really rear their heads a little bit more on the road, where he doesn't have that nice backdrop that augments strikeouts. There's a specific way the sun sets in Seattle that, you know, reflects off the batter's eye in a certain way that, you know, that makes it really hard, especially for right-handed hitters to hit. And you can see some of that glare right now. He's running right into that sun that does lead to a park effect, the biggest park effect in baseball for strikeouts. So I do think he'll do well today. But, you know, I think that the way that we see the decline most is in the
sand. Oh, interesting. So you're specifically going toward the slider as the, hey, that's the alarm bells, the red flag this year for Luis Castillo. Why is that?
Yeah, so, you know, his slider this year is down from 85.7 miles per hour last year to 84.1 this year. And, you know, there's sort of famously this number, 85 miles an hour is, you know, above that number, your slider is good, most likely. Not everyone, but most likely good. And below that number, it might not be good. And so I looked at league average sliders, and lo and behold, the league average slider with an 85 mile an hour slider has a 352 slugging and a 39% whiff. 84 and below, a 451 slugging and a 29% whiff. He's gone from 85.7 to 84.1, and in recent starts, it's been as low as 83. So the reason I have that circled is Luis Castillo has the arsenal to be good against both righties and lefties. if the slider's not as good, though, he won't be as good as against the righties. And the Yankees have a fairly good righty in the lineup. somebody you've heard of before. Aaron Judge.
You're talking about Paul Goldschmidt, who is batting 350 right now. Yeah. Which is honestly, I got to say, I don't think Paul Goldschmidt gets enough credit for it. And by the way, we're going to be doing full play-by-play. So as we talk about all these things, right now, Luis Castillo is getting ready. He's going against Trent Grisham, who's having himself a wonderful season. But against lefties, I expect fastballs early here, and we see that 94 down at the knees. And with Castillo, when we think about the past of him, it was more about the changeup, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's, I think, what's been such an interesting thing about his career is he was a changeup sinker guy who has added the four-seam and the slider. Absolutely. There's also a really great piece today on Fangraphs by Ben Clements about Trent Grisham attacking fastballs early in the zone. We're not seeing that right now.
No, he's we're not. We've seen 0-1 is a fastball away, 94, and just gets the edge of the plate. And now you really do think that old Castillo would just throw two changeups in a row now. But you might see him actually challenge Grisham here at 0-2. Here's the pitch. And there's that slider you're talking about. It's at 86. That's a good sign, at least not 84, that you were talking about.
That is a good number. And what they were saying was like Trent Grisham was being more, this is one of the most passive hitters in the big leagues. He has taken every pitch, though, so he's going against the grain for today, at least.
Absolutely. 1-2 pitch. There's a good slider down and in past the nitro zone for a foul off a by Trent Grisham, 86. That is the kind of pitch that Castillo wants to execute, and Grisham is just making him pay.
I've always found Trent Grisham's swing to be extremely unattractive. I don't know what it is. There's something about this like two-handed finish. You know, this two-handed finish that's kind of a low two-handed finish. It looks like he's broadcasting that he likes to take the low pitch and golf it.
Yeah, I just don't know. There's a high fastball, by the way, from Castillo, which isn't a surprise if there are two low sliders. He misses up, but we see a big amount of tail. You might see that again here. And we do. It's 96 up and away. Grisham sends it for a ride. Going back. It's Julio at the wall.
Way. He leaps. You get it?
And he catches it.
He got it.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Wow. That's a good beginning.
Unbelievable. Stealing a home run from Trent Grisham. Crazy play by Julio. He's pumped up. Wow.
So Grisham was trying to take that high fastball the other way and looked like he had enough pop in his bat to make it go all the way. But
and it wasn't attractive going, a swing. I didn't know if it would go because the swing looked terrible. Amazing timing from Julio. Gets over the wall. Definitely would have been a home run.
Oh,
incredible.
2 feet above the wall.
Amazing.
That is so nice.
It's also after he missed a home run from Trent Grisham. I believe it was Trent just a day or two ago. It popped out of his glove and over the fence. Unbelievable. There's a fastball 94 from Castillo away, fouled off by Ben Rice, 0-1. Oh, that has to feel good.
One thing that's annoying to me right now about Castillo's fastball usage is he hasn't been down or up. It's been middle in and middle out, which maybe that's going to be all right. But I like him better when he can go up and down. Ben Absolutely. Rice also, in terms of swings, we've seen him. You know, what's the count now?
It's one and one. There was a slider down missed to Ben Rice. It was get the 1-1 pitch. Probably fastball is what I would guess here. No, another slider, really good one at 85, just under the swing of Rice, down and in.
Shows how much I know. The slider looks good today. Good velo on the slider. Might be a good day for
Castillo. Well, you know, we normally do see first inning and then decline, so we might see 83s, 84s later. Mm-hmm. But so far, so good. Absolutely right. There's another slider. There's a great one, 85. Under the plate, Ben Rice swings down in middle. There's a strikeout. And really, the last two games from Luis Castillo, we have seen just two whiffs combined on changeups and sliders.
Wow.
So to see two sliders already after only getting one in his last outing is a good sign.
That is good. And, you know, Ben Rice is a pretty fearsome slugger there. So that's a good out. Rice, to me, is interesting. He looks like the carbon copy of Judge, actually, on the other direction.
On the other side of the plate.
In terms of their stance and their setup, but Judge definitely is, you know, a good 5 inches taller.
And speaking of that slider, that's a 1-0 or 0-0 pitch missing down and away to Judge on that slider. Probably going back to it, and he does. 86. Yeah. Oh, just off the edge of the plate, according to our K-zone, but it's very, very close, and Judge gets the unfortunate
call. The book on Judge is
against them,
trying to sneak the fastballs up high and then, you know, then breaking balls away. It's a pretty simple book. Oh, that was different.
That was gorgeous. That was an 89 mile per hour changeup down and away to Judge. And really, that does seem like a fastball count. Exactly what you're talking about. You think it's sneaking it up and in, maybe. That changeup absolutely fooled him underneath the plate. It's 1-2, and I would go back to that well again with that changeup. It looks like it goes with the slider down away, and it's 86, 2-2. We've not seen a fastball yet. Is this the time to do it, you know?
So you can't sneak a cheese past this rut.
I think you're right. Changeup is probably what I'd go. There's another slider. He gets it off the end of the bat. Oh, my gosh. And it doinks into left field just over the jumping shortstop. You have a really good pitch from Castillo that's right off the end of the plate, maybe even called a ball. And you had Judge swinging at it, but he's just too strong. Gets it off the end of the bat that we normally find the glove, but gets into the outfield for a single.
Recently, Judge has closed up his stance. There's a good piece by David Adler on that. And we were trying to, at Rates and Barrels, kind of uncover what that means. And I think closing up your stance does make you a little bit better on pitches on the outer half.
Absolutely. There's a ball 85 inside down into Bellinger. Big miss there. On closed stances, I'll talk about that a little bit more at the break here. But there is actually some fun discussion, especially there with Giancarlo Stanton. And how you change the stance can really affect a lot of your swing path. You have a slider that's hung 85 away, smacked right field. It goes to the wall. Judge, if he gets on his horse, could score, but they're likely going to hold him up at third. And it looks like that second and third, two outs here as Bellinger just gets a hanger of slider and punishes Castillo.
Yeah, the Yankees have a fearsome lineup. It's getting going.
You heard it here first from Eno Saris.
Yeah.
But right, he just does not stop here. You have Ben Rice, we're talking about. Grisham sent it to the wall and needed to be called back from a home run stolen by Jose Rodriguez. Judge making it work even on a good slider. And finally, you throw a bad one and instantly punished. You know, that really does kill your confidence a bit if you're Castillo, right? Like, you have to be pristine to get through this. Here is Anthony Volpe, which is interesting. Is this a day off for Goldschmidt? It could be. It looks like day game after night game, both Goldschmidt and Austin Wells are out of this game. So you get Volpe here in the five spot, batting 240. And he swings through a slider 0-1. Another slider again, 87, but it's tugged far and away outside. I understand a little bit more velocity when it's tugged like that, because you really just have more behind it as you keep holding on to it longer. With a miss like that, you would think that Volpe would axe it for the next one, right? You'd be looking for a fastball at this point?
Yeah, I think so. Volpe has been better this year in terms of batted ball ability, but has made for more swing and miss. So
absolutely.
I think I'd be, for a lot of reasons, he's going for a strikeout here. And
right, so you have a slider there.
How about a right-on-right change
right over the middle
here.
Of the plate, just taken by Volpe.
Right-on-right change
go back
here.
To it.
Nope.
No, he goes for a sinker and 96, really carries inside a ton of movement on it. But Volpe honestly wasn't really looking for that. And because he wasn't, it was an easy take because he didn't for a moment think that he was going to time up to it. At 2-2 here, you might go back to that well, seeing the passivity of Volpe, and you do. And it's 96 upstairs and gets him a good spot at the top of the zone. And Castillo sets them down. So no runs on the board, despite a Grisham smack to center pulled back and some trouble there. Do you like what you see from Luis Castillo right now?
I just flipped over to his Savant page and was expecting to see that, his movement was up because there was I thought that two seamer looked really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that yanked slider that had a ton of sideways movement, but so far he's well within his historical norms on movement so far. I'd have to say that I'd like that the slider is up in velo right now.
Yeah, what we're seeing here on the Pitcher List app, that is our lovely app for understanding live pitches via StatCast data. We're seeing already three whiffs so far on that slider. The fastball is at 94, 95, 40% CSW thus far. He still has that flat attack angle, right? And the more that he can get that upstairs, like he did against Volpe there, it should be effective. I do want to mention about close stance. The reason that Stanton did is because his bat swing is so fast. His bat speed is amazing, that he would actually be too quick. And closing off means that you can start your swing the same timing, but then you actually arrive at the ball later often, and that's why you'd push it to right field. And when you have a guy like Judge, it does make sense to do that, right? To allow you to stay back a little bit further, and you've seen a lot of his home runs are just opposite field. Makes all the sense. He doesn't need to pull the ball to get the power. I absolutely grasp the closed stance approach.
Interesting. I thought of it
can be very, very effective.
I thought of it a little bit more as just from a mechanical standpoint. Maybe we're saying the same thing, but I just thought closing off would keep your shoulder in longer.
Oh, yeah.
And so that just keeps you from sort of flying open and, you know, sort of filleting the ball, you know.
Right. Think of it as
moves that contact point around a little bit.
Look where your feet are pointing in the box, right? If you're closed, you're actually pointing to right field as your center. So then if you are pulling out too quickly, that means then that you're going to then situate yourself in center field as opposed to right field normally. And now we have Will Warren. Will Warren's first pitch there is a called strike on the inside corner. Missed his spot, 93 to the lefty Mastroboni. And gets a fortunate call there. What are you expecting for Will Warren here as he delivers a fastball 93 called for strike two?
He's sort of trying to find his mix. There was a game where he didn't even throw his sinker, you know, and it's really weird. His four-seamer has been losing ride over the course of the season. So he's gone. He's had games where he's used a lot and games where he's used it less. And so I'm really watching this, against lefties in particular. How often does he go, like he just did, to the breaking ball early against lefties? How often does he go to the off-speed stuff? And how much does he trust his four-seamer? And how much does he trust his sinker against righties? So he's a guy who has a big mix and can use all of his pitches, but he needs to establish that fastball, even if it sounds pretty old school.
Yeah, so I agree with you completely because Will Warren is not in a place that he can get enough strikes just with his slider and his changeup. He needs to figure out a way that he can manipulate these pitches into the zone and then set up those great breaking balls. I mean, you see the big drop on it as he missed even big in the dirt in the 0-2 pitch. Another one at 1-2 that was just fouled off. And Mastroboni, by the way, is in for a late scratch of J.P. Crawford. You have a 94-mile-per-hour fastball up and away that is poked to center, and Grisham lazily strolls to the ball and caroms it. That's the word. Ha-ha. And there's one away. It's not really the best fastball, though, is it, Eno?
No, it's not. But I'm wondering if it can be good enough. I've seen enough in common. In fact, there is an almost exact comp for Will Warren, who pitches in the big leagues and pitches pretty well.
Oh, that's Michael King, I would imagine.
That is Michael King.
Oh, you can't get it past me. You know, there's a first pitch into a Polanco at 94 and down. That's strike one. The attack angle has improved, though, for Will Warren. Just on that, the first two pitches, I'm seeing a 1.8 height-adjusted VAA on that fastball. And it's possible that he's lowered his arm angle even more to make that four-seamer work. Here's the second one at 0-1 here. That's a changeup. And you can see how filled the break is, but it's too good. That was, a 50-footer, maybe, just inside the infield grass on the dirt. Spiked 1-1. Yeah. I mean, you do really want to see Warren take the next step with that changeup, you know.
I was just really, it was remarkable to me. I think in the past I've wanted to find comps, you know, by using raw movement data.
Just another one missed there in the dirt and closer, more competitive, great movement, but not close enough to the zone for Polanco to swing.
And I've changed over to trying to use approach angle or Alex Chamberlain has a new stat, the dead zone stat.
Oh, filthy sweeper inside. Nice. Goes in off the plate, but Polanco, not seeing a single sweeper beforehand, swings over 2-2.
When Warren has it going, I really enjoy watching him. Right now, the command is spotty. You know, he's
weird.
He's put a couple in the dirt. He's even that one that Polanco swung on almost hit him in the body.
Right.
If he can dial in that command, I mean, everything moves in every direction.
Absolutely. Here's a 2-2 pitch. It is a backdoor sweeper. It looks like that wasn't quite going to make the Polanco didn't want to risk it, and it's fouled off. We do it again. That's really the thing with Will Warren. You can watch him and just see exactly how this works. Michael King, great comp, of course, with filthy changeups, filthy breaking balls, and hopefully fastballs and sinkers that work where they want to. There's another sweeper well in the dirt again. I mean, 50-footer, and it's 3-2. But the thing about King that makes King who he is and wears the crown is because he is a command artist. He is
he has that command.
Can go front hand,
that is
front
really
hand, sinker.
Really, the difference between these two. Because I was looking at, you know, Alex Chamberlain has these dead zone stat, which is basically movement over anticipate. Oh,
man, Polanco, after missing, denying all of the breaking balls before in the dirt, swings at the 3-2 sweeper just in front of home plate for strike three, and they're two away.
One thing I like about the early going here is that Warren is going to the curveball as well as the sweeper.
Yes.
It's an uneasy mix between the two because the sweeper has way more horizontal movement. And the curveball is more 12-6. And I wonder if he gets, if they maybe blend together.
Mm. There's a fastball down the middle, 94, that Rodriguez. Oh, he wants that one back.
He wanted that one. but the curveball by Stuff Plus, which looks at the physical characteristics of the pitches, says that he should throw that curveball more often.
Mm. But you see, of course, it's spiked in the dirt, and you can understand why he doesn't quite have that feel. There is a sinker with a lot of movement as the glove comes back to the plate. It's very weird to see a catcher receive the ball like it's the late 80s. And that's what we just got with that sinker. And now it's an 0-2 count as Julio, again, kind of wishes he could have that one back too. The pitch. It's, of course, the sweeper, 83. I mean, that's the rule of thumb, 0-2, and you just threw two fastballs. Why would you possibly risk another fastball? For the rest of this at-bat is what I'd say. You got to believe that either Julio's going to chase one of these or you'll just take a walk at this point. You don't want to give another chance at that fastball. 1-2 pitch. And there is another one in the dirt, but in the opposite batter's box.
That looked like it was a 20-inch sweeper there in terms of horizontal movement. That was way out there. You know, Rodriguez has been really, he's been vulnerable on the outer half. I think I would try to sneak a backdoor sinker in there on the outer half. If you do ball to strike right now, he'll take it.
2-2 pitch on its way. And there is a fastball, 94, and he swings over. Really good spot up and away, just on the edge of the zone. And it gets Julio Rodriguez for a second strikeout. And Will Warren, it's fan two. And perfect baseball thus far. He's looking more complete at the moment than Luis Castillo.
Yeah, but again, we saw him yank a bunch of pitches. And I guess both of them have been yanking him. I wonder if it's a high movement day. Wonder if, I know it isn't quite bearing out in the numbers yet, but we want to get a few more pitches before we say anything definitively. But there are days, the wind, this is not a case today, of course, in the dome, but the wind can actually create tunneling situations that affect movement. We're seeing that a lot in Tampa and Sacramento right now. It's affecting the way pitches are moving in those parks. I would say that domes do the other thing where it's a clinician type environment. It's like you can do exactly what the pitches want you to do in terms of movement. Like there's nothing affecting them. And so therefore it becomes like a situation where maybe they're getting more movement than they anticipated. The last time out, they didn't get as much. And so they're
right.
Maybe in this first inning, they're like, wow, I yanked a few of those. Let's see them come back in the second inning and see if they adjust to that.
Absolutely.
That added movement.
I mean, what's so interesting is I'm seeing the movement chart here. And if you guys don't know it, it looks like a bullseye, like the full on target. And we have a dotted line where it's essentially 18 inches of the X and Y axis and then a circle around that. None of Will Warren's pitches are inside of that. That means everything is outside of 18 inches in either direction, or at least the extended past the hypotenuse of that triangle, where we have extra 3 inches of movement on the sweeper, 2 to 3 on the curveball horizontally, 2 to 3 on the curveball drop, over an inch of horizontal on the four-seamer thus far, 3 to 4 inches on the changeup of horizontal as well. So you might be completely right about that. As it could be a higher movement day. But I will say that four-seamer up to Julio Rodriguez, that
was perfect.
Everything you want. 1.6.
It's exactly where Julio is having trouble right now, too.
Not in the outfield, I guess, a little bit. There is a first pitch ball to Jason Dominguez, down and in fastball. And yeah, that fastball just does not overwhelm like it used to with Castillo.
Yeah, he's down there in velo as well. But, there's always this ongoing narrative with Castillo that he's going to gain velocity as the season goes on. And so it's kind of hard to say that he won't get it back on the fastball. But this is the slowest his slider's been.
And we see 96, and he gets the call on that one. He missed it on the previous pitch, pretty much the same location. Would have been a 3-0 on all fastballs outside the zone there. But now it's 2-1 for Castillo as he's focusing on the heater with Dominguez here at 2-1. Fastball upstairs, 95. Great spot right at the top of the zone and gets a high fly ball, but it's way out of play behind the catcher, and it's 2-2. I would hope to see the legit Castillo changeup. You know, it's been really strange the past 3 years not seeing Castillo have that old slow ball.
We had Brian Bayo pitching the other day, and I wonder sometimes, you know, he has a hard time having both the lefty and the righty, the slider and the changeup going at the same time.
Absolutely. He drives me up the wall. And there's a pop-up in front of the mound there on a slider down and in that Dominguez pops up, and it is one away in the second.
Yeah, I just wonder if that's ever true for him, because he was such a sinker change guy in Cincinnati, and then he came over to Seattle and they really emphasized the four seam and the slider. And since that day, we've seen the changeup basically slowly get worse.
Right. It is fascinating. I mean, you've talked about before, I think, about being a pronated guy or a supinated guy, Pepio being the only one that is both, I guess. And so you would think, like, okay, if you're focused on the pronating of the changeup, then maybe you get some losses in the slider. As you supinate. Here is LeMahieu stepping in second game of the year, and there's a fastball 96, and he's not looking fully ready, as that was a somewhat hittable pitch at 96, of course, but it's fouled back into the mitt for foul tip, strike one. Is that a whiff or not, Eno? That's right. It is a whiff. There's a 0-1 pitch. It's another fastball. No. Of course, you're going to throw that up in the zone, fouled off, and it's 0-2. It is a whiff. Why? Because for all purposes, it is. It acts as one, and I know there is some contact, but you got to put a threshold somewhere. And if my threshold is, if it's not back into the glove, then it's not. Now, some people want to say, oh, the contact's there, but it doesn't matter. If you can't, you can steal on that. You know, it's a strikeout. I don't understand. If it's a strikeout and you swing and miss, it's not a foul ball.
I'm just a purist. I want him to completely miss the ball.
Well, he did.
The foul tip.
He didn't do anything with it. There's a missed fastball upstairs, 1-2, and then there's a slider that was supposed to be away, but then backed up on him. But LeMahieu did not get underneath it, as you normally see on those kind of backup sliders, and his ground out to third for a second out.
I think it'll be interesting to see what the Yankees do as, you know, these guys come back into the fold. The young Yankees, they are actually top five in the big leagues when it comes to production from players under 25 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah, it comes to whatever stat you use.
Ooh, there is a fastball down Escara, speaking of which, it gives it a ride to center as that line drive almost messed up Julio. He took the deadly rookie first step, but then made up for it and caught it before it went over his head. And we were through an inning and a half as we go to the bottom of the second. We have a good question here from Winnie Rose. They're asking about velocity, saying when someone's velocity gets slower, it may be 93, 94. It makes me think about how that used to be fast about 15 years ago. Is this more of a testament to hitters getting better? You know,
I just think that hitters basically react to average. I mean, they're being trained by the sport, right? So whatever is happening in the sport, that's training them in terms of what they need to be able to do. So if the average velo has gone from 87 when we start, and 88 when we started tracking it, all the way up to now, average velo is 94 miles an hour. So as a hitter, you're just used to the average is 94. So if somebody dips below 94, you can notice it. And what we've actually found, back when the average velo was more like 92, we found that, you know, once you can get over 94, there's a shelf, you know, and then that makes it really hard on the hitter. So now that the average velo is 94, I'm guessing that the shelf is more around 96.
Yeah.
So what you'll find is guys who can get it over 96, they get a real benefit from their velo. And then what you find is from between 95 and let's say 92 or something, there's a little bit less benefit from each, you know, you can move around there and it's not as big a deal. Then you drop below 92 and that's sort of below hitting speed. You either have to have an amazing array of you have to have a really weird release point like Tyler Rogers, or you have to just have an amazing changeup or
extension.
You know, it's very hard to be in the big leagues at right, you know, under 92, 91 these days.
Oh man. All I think about there is just how much I look at like prospects. I'm like, oh, you're 94, 95, whatever. You know, I just feel so bad for them because that used to be like, oh man, he's at 94. This is awesome. This is great. Wow. I remember Griffin Cannon. I was like, whoa, you're throwing 94 mile per hour fastball?
Yeah.
And now I'm like, dude, you're throwing 95. It's empty velocity. 97 from Chase Elander. I'm like, whatever. You got nothing else to bag it up.
Not a good shape on that fastball.
Yeah, it's not good shape. I mean, at least he's kind of flat on it. He doesn't have extension. And extension, I think, is the kind of the interesting part of it, that you can make things work more with extension because you have a shorter, you essentially extend the tunnel because it's just less time for batters to understand the difference between the cutter and the two-seamer. Even if it's a different velocity, it is closer to the plate, so the tunnel is a little bit different. That's at least my understanding of why you see guys like Bailey Ober have success with a changeup and four-seamer at massive extension, even though it's 90 and change. And there's 0-1 to 1-1 from Will Warren, mostly on fastballs there. 92 velo is regular Doritos, says Tier Zero Hero.
I think there's another question there about effective velocity. And, you know, as we see, you know, two different pitchers with different levels of extension, should we just be adjusting for that extension and reporting only effective velocity? And I can see the point behind that, but I just haven't found that effective velocity, the way it's reported, has made my models more predictive. You know, extension matters, but there's something, extension matters. I think what's so difficult is extension matters in a lot of different ways.
And yeah, exactly. It's just about the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just the extension.
Yeah.
Right? So that's when I get excited. There's a ridiculous sweeper. My gosh. Maybe it's just the camera angle at Seattle, but a 3-1 pitch there, as Kyle Riley calls timeout. From Will Warren, he tried his changeup before to get another strike on there, and that one just was off the plate and then suddenly inside to the lefty Cal Raleigh. Unreal. Weird. I mean, it might be weather adjusted here, like we saw in San Diego a bit with their wind. A 3-2 pitch, you got to throw another one. You felt so good on that one, and you throw a curveball, looks like an 80. Down and away, Raleigh swings over it, and he's
using both the curveball and sweepers. Exactly what I wanted for him in terms of breaking ball mix, and he's using them against lefties as well. So
yeah,
he's not necessarily establishing the fastball as much as I'd hoped, but he's using every pitch he's got to get every out. And it's, you know, I think he's like, I got five innings. I gotta make it through how I can.
I mean, the way he's throwing right now, he could go six. If he looks like that at bat, there's a backdoor sinker for a strike to Rosarena. Just on the edge there, and got the call. And I really can't get over the framing here by Escara. That is not your typical flat glove. It's more of a diagonal as he brings in that sinker.
It's really obvious from our angle. He's really pulling it into the middle.
Yeah, there is a sinker inside at 94, and I love that. That's, I think, the traditional setup. You go sinkers inside to left, to right-handers, and then you can do whatever you want.
Four seamers inside to lefties, yeah.
And then the question is always, what do you do against lefties? Well, we're seeing it with these good breaking balls that really do affect that and make it fun. This has got to be a breaking ball away here.
Yeah,
it is, but he overtugs it. And that's such a typical thing, and it's so frustrating. Drives me up the wall, you know. Overtug, like, so much. You know, it's, yes, I get it. You want to make that mistake as opposed to over the plate. But we have, that's a mental thing.
But you think about it. 20 inches of movement, he really should be aiming at the batter.
Right.
Or really close to it.
You can do that, you know. 1-2 coming, and there is another one. That's a good 2 plane breaker, but a little too far down and away for a Rosarena to chase, and that's 2-2.
I've been working with my son with pitcher, on...
Go ahead.
Exactly. What are you saying?
With the pitcher, is that throwing the pitch over and over again, you should be able to make these adjustments. Mm-hmm. And he's not really. That's a third straight missed sweeper and not really that competitive.
I mean, these are 15 inches outside of the zone at least.
Right.
And so, what I was working on with my son was, you know, setting up a garbage can and saying, you know, you got to aim your breaking ball. If you want to throw it for a strike, you got to aim it at this person, at this. There you go. Backdoor sinker.
Sinker backdoor at 94. Just perfect.
That was beautiful.
For strike three. And after throwing three bad sweepers, he nails the fastball. That's so hard to do when you haven't done it for three straight pitches. Oh, that was gorgeous from Will Warren.
It really played off.
Strikeout number three for
Will. It really played off those sweepers because I think Rosarena was like, anything out there, he can't land it. I'm just going to take anything out there. And
right,
he brought something that came back to the zone.
Beautiful. That's actually strikeout number four. Excuse me. But actually, it's funny you say that about where to aim, because I personally loved seeing the glove on the ground and landing the curve into it, as opposed to starting up and then going down. That's always how I was, though, and some guys are different. There's a good backdoor sweeper. 83.
That was nice.
Just looks so nice right now.
Big Rowdy Tellez. You know, he's seen a little bit of a career resurgence here. We've got just mostly because the Mariners have just needed bats. It's a little bit like the situation where I wonder if you know, anybody's coming to take his role. But this is the best barrel rate that Rowdy's seen. Some of the best batted ball stats, even if his batting average is terrible. He's adding a little bit of an element of left-handed power. I was trying to circle the left-handers that Warren would have to face, and there's not that many of them.
Now, there's a really nice changeup at 80. That's probably the best changeup we've seen all day from Will Warren. A ton of depth to it. And I want to get you that pen that lets you just draw on the screen. Like, there is a lefty right here.
Just this, I mean, Tellez, what are the big lefties he has to worry about? It was going to be Crawford, who's out. So Master Boney, Polanco.
Wow, he gets a swing and a miss on a curveball that doesn't come close, but because it's the curve going down, it might have looked like the sweeper that would come back over. So that's why you're seeing that curveball get whiffs away and down before they even get back to the zone. So that's three strikeouts at the side in that inning. Does Will Warren. Amazing job. Very quick question, Eno. Do you strike out the side if you don't get all three batters out?
I hate that, but that's how it's used. You know.
So you feel like you don't strike out the side if there's a single in between?
No, that's how I feel. But I think in terms of how it's used, yes, you do. You understand what I'm saying? Like that, you know, the way that announcers use it. The way that I feel that you strike out the side is three in a row.
Okay.
That's how I feel in my heart. But yeah, that doesn't mean that that's how it plays out in the world.
I think striking out the side just means you got all three guys. That's how I've always thought about it. But then again, there isn't a good distinction. There isn't another.
But then you could strike out the side and like then it loses value as like really being that impressive of a feat. Mm. You could strike a guy out, give up four homers in a row, and strike two guys out. And say, he struck out the side.
He struck out the side, but the damage has been done. You know, that's what I would say. Right?
What Warren is doing with these breaking balls is what you highlighted, is this idea that if he's got a vertical breaking ball and he's got a sideways breaking ball, he can basically tunnel the two off each other. And this has been something that is difficult to model and difficult to research, because we traditionally think of batters as sitting on the fastball and expecting the fastball. And so then tunneling is an aspect of a pitch coming off of that fastball. Mm-hmm. It's either, you know, it's like a cutter and a four seam where it looks like it to the end and then moves. That's tunneling as we've thought of it in the past. But increasingly, I think the way that batters are trained, the high information environment that they live in, is going to give them all these pairings where they're going to be like, oh, this guy really loves to go slider, slider, or sweeper, sweeper, you know? And so they're going to start sitting on things other than the fastball. Speaking of which, we see a 95 mile an hour fastball from Castillo put into right field.
He's not sitting on the secondary. I mean, then again, it's easier to send the fastball with Castillo. That's just also an away one. So when you talk about effective velocity before, fastballs away from a batter grant more time. You don't have to get the bat out as far to be able to make contact on it. So generally that is kind of a no-no in my view for fastballs that don't have any vert to live away, because you are giving so many opportunities for guys, especially at lower velocities, to really just have their way with that fastball. It's really tough to do that.
I think that's part of why effective velocity has not taken off more, is that there's effective velocity with, you know, regards to the way that Perry, there's a guy named Perry that I forget his last name. Perry Husband uses effective velocity to talk about how fastballs in require quicker reaction times and have more of a higher effective velocity than fastballs away, just for the way you're talking about it. So there's been a little bit of muddying of the waters of what the term even means.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's Grisham, who sent a fastball to the, well, over the wall, but then brought it back in his first at bat. And that was the best fastball I think we've seen from Castillo all game. It was an up and in one, 96. Grisham, oh boy, he was hungry and he's still starving. It's 1-2. And you see that kind of attack. I think about this often, you know, what does the batter tell you, right? When I see that, I mean, Grisham is hungry for that heater. And now it's really on Castillo to say, great, do I have a pitch that can look like that heater and not be it? Or do I now give him that heater?
With this swing and with the knowledge of his heat maps, you know he's vulnerable high.
Mm. So hopefully Castillo can attack him there. As Talos is like, hey, cool, you're making me busy. This is fun. Castillo throws it first, and of course, no.
If he had a more of a big sort of 12-6 curve, he could play off of. He could do the high fastball and the play off of that pretty well with Grisham. But I expect he'll finish him off with like a sinker, a high sinker away or something that's not near the zone at all.
Well, we'll see if Castillo can nail that. That has been a little bit of the issue, is the fastball command as of late. 1-2 pitch on its way. There is a slider. And you can even see before the pitch was being thrown how the catcher was setting up to know that this glove is a loose glove. And what I mean by that is there are ways that catchers set up differently for fastballs than they are for sliders, especially the man on base, because if they're looser with their body, they are getting ready for this ball to go into the dirt and protect. So if you're watching these games at home and you're trying to figure out what pitch is coming, don't look at the pitcher on release. Look at the catcher, and they'll give you all the signs that you want. We have a slider that lands just down.
Yes, he did. He got that.
And that was a strike. Oh, my gosh. Barely. Grisham, I wonder, did he think it was going to go too far in to be a ball, or is he just hoping for a fastball and then just said no?
I mean, that was a 50-50 ball anyway, so it wasn't a terrible take. But we also reported last week at The Athletic with Jason Stark and Ken Rosenthal that the zone is shrinking. The strike zone is the smallest it's ever been because of the way umpires are judged. And that was right there in the buffer zone where umpires used to have a 2-inch buffer zone around the strike zone. They are now being judged by a 0.75-inch buffer zone around the strike zone. So
do they want more people to just yell at me and you? We have a slider away to Ben Rice, and after whiffing on two of them in the previous at-bat, he got wise to the situation. And this wasn't even a bad slider. It was down and maybe even out of the zone that he just wallops over the shortstop into left.
It was a little bit higher than the last ones. Mm-hmm. And what happens is something called shape fatigue. We're trying to research this and model it better and better, but we know that a big part of the third time through the order penalty where batters, you know, get the advantage the third time they see a pitcher is that they're just seeing the same shapes.
Right.
And so if the one thing that can happen, this is what I was talking about with Warren has now shown them all his slider and his curveball and his change. And the more often they see those shapes, the better they get at them.
Oh, there's a really nice slider, 85 first pitch to Judge. And that's the rule of thumb. You get the first guy on second base. First time that happens as a pitcher, you do not throw a fastball. The batter is generally wants to pass the baton, be aggressive, get that guy in. And the rule of thumb, always throw a secondary first pitch. Judge swung right over it for strike one. And there's another one. Oh, could he hold up? I don't think he did. He did. Oh, my gosh. Really? I don't think he did.
Those two sliders in a row there looked very different in terms of shape, though. So I wonder if he's still struggling with it a little. One was a little bit more up down. The other one was just almost a sweeper.
Yeah, it's possible that he just tugged on too long and it gets that extra movement. But you're absolutely right. One looked like kind of a cutter going straight down.
Right on right changeups is Trevor May over at the Rates and Barrels. My co-host over there loves right on right changeups. He says that a lot of the biggest right-handed hitters just aren't prepared for that, don't think about it, and are surprised by it.
I love it so much. I talk about it with Pablo. Be like, dude, you got to just – changeup is always there. When you're trying to find that thing away, way, way, and like, okay, it's clear fastball count, you just go with that changeup instead. I mean, Kevin Gausman's essentially done that for ages with his splitter, and he didn't care. But 2-1, this is very dangerous at this point with that changeup going on the previous pitch. Still hasn't given him fastball. And there's that slider, and Judge knows it's coming
3-1.
At this point.
I think because he might be okay with walking him here. He doesn't want to give up a 3-run jack.
Right. So Judge right now, if I'm you, you are looking for a slider. I don't care if you think it's a 3-1 fastball count. You expect a slider. If it's a fastball, then a slider after that. Oh, no.
Ooh,
he threw the slider.
That was beautiful. He did
away,
not tug it
off
too
the
long.
Plate, and Judge went fishing. 2 strikes now, 3-2. Oh, man, you know, he really nailed that one. But
he might have him set up for another right-on-right changeup. It's a little bit dangerous because he's seen that already. And then also, if you miss on a right-on-right changeup, it's just a slow pitch down the middle, basically.
Absolutely. This always goes back to David Cone throwing the splitter, right? The 3-2 splitter, that was the right pitch. He just threw it poorly. But if it's the right pitch, is that always the right thing? It's the right pitch for you in that moment. 3-2, it's got to be a slider. You just saw a judge whiff at it. Here's the pitch. Oh, it's a fastball, 96 down the pipe.
Wow.
And Judge didn't expect it. He foul tipped it. Would you say that's a whiff, you know?
It's a strikeout, but I don't know if it's a whiff. No, I mean, the great thing here is that I think he lulled him to sleep with all the slow stuff.
I mean,
stuff.
That the timing, look at the slow motion replay. It was, he was so like close.
A,
I mean,
he made really like a half inch off from Kablooey, basically.
Wow. Unbelievable strikeout there from Luis Castillo. And there's, again, 96 right down the middle. Maybe the same exact spot, also foul tipped by Bellinger. And maybe this is a little bit of that movement at play. Just that little extra movement on that fastball today because of the wind.
You know, and Luis Castillo is up a half tick today. So everything is up in velo a little bit.
Now, I remember you made this point very clear as a fastball 96 up and away. And there you go. Uh-oh. Okay. Way out of the zone. That better hitters see worse pitches. But I do wonder with vets that it's the opposite. Like the veteran pitchers, do they also throw worse pitches?
Oh, when they're when they encounter? Yeah. I mean, I think yes, because what you saw, and when I say worse pitches there, I'm including location. Mm-hmm. And so basically what's happening is you're afraid of Judge, so you don't really throw anything down the heart of the plate. You don't really throw things in the zone. Like, right. Of the pitches that Judge saw in that at bat, was one in the zone or two? And so those are, by analytics standpoints, worse pitches because they don't have that zone quality. So yeah. I think that's it. What's wrapped up in there is that pitchers are afraid of sluggers and don't right. want to throw them anything down the heart.
That makes all of the sense. There is fastball dominance from Castillo. They're a really good 2-1 changeup down that was fouled off by Bellinger. A very critical pitch there because it set up that fastball 96 away, blew it by him. And believe it or not, it's still 0-0 here in Seattle. You have two completely different guys. You have Warren going perfect through two with four strikeouts. Castillo grinding every single inning to get through it. But that's baseball. You know, you can have the Harvey Haddix game if you want, but you got to score the runs. Doesn't matter what else happens. Do you think that Castillo's long for this one? It doesn't seem like he is as efficient as he needs to be to go more than five.
It's already 49 pitches so far for him. You know, but he has, I think, you know, some of the tugging that we saw early has really abated a little bit. And I think that the command seems to be improving with every inning. You know, what we're going to see here is the bottom of the order next time for him. And I bet you he does something like an 11 pitch bottom of the order, you know, please, thank you, and get on. And if he can do that, that might buy him a whole nother inning.
Absolutely. And really, to your credit, and by the way, I keep forgetting that Warren has five strikeouts and not four, that at the beginning of this broadcast, you were saying, Luis Castillo, hey, can you get that slider down? Can you keep that four-seamer up? And that's actually what we're seeing today. Yep. Only one or two fastballs low location. Everything else is middle or really up, while the slider is pretty much staying low location. Even the ones that are acting like a cut kind of in the middle are still middle low, and everything else is either tugged or staying in that quadrant down and away from right-handers. That's really good to see. I still am a little worried about the confidence and everything in this, right? You were seeing this inside of these at-bats of Castillo being like, I don't know if I can throw this fastball at this point. I don't know if I have my slider here or my changeup there. It does feel like he's really struggling to wield it exactly as he wants. While Warren doesn't quite care as much. Does that make sense? Oh, there's a fastball first pitch out there. Beautiful inside. Oh my gosh. And no one is there. That was a collision at first base here. And we have the batter down. He's okay. Looks like he's all right. But you have the second baseman fielding it. And then the first baseman try and get back to the bag. Is Will Warren covering? And the ball just gets thrown between them. Nobody caught it. Man is safe, but the collision at first. I hope he's all right.
This batter is annoyed.
Oh man, you got it. That is on. He's
like,
first
why?
Baseline.
Why were you there? Why did I have to run into you?
And it's just, yeah, Tavares should be upset. That is on Ben Rice. Ben Rice has to get back to that back. He's always the top priority here.
And he went too far. Where he is. Yeah. Oh
it's,
gosh.
If he wants Warren to get it, then he has to get out of the way.
Yeah, this came up. This has come up before a couple times this year, and you know, I just find like it's not against the rules or anything. There's nothing that he's doing that's incorrect by the rules, but it's not great defense, and it does put the runner at risk. And I've had some people be like, oh, you know, does the runner have that right to the lane any more than the defender? And I don't know. That seems like a philosophical question. But a baseball question is, you know, the runner's running through there. And yeah, so right. You don't cover the bag that way. You know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I've said this constantly. I don't care about, you know, preserving how the game was 100 years ago. I care about what is the best version of this game. And how to I'll keep say these it again guys and again, healthy. First base, when you're going from home to first, should be like the softball bags.
Yeah,
just put the bag on the right side of the foul line. There is a beautiful backdoor sinker and a 1-0 pitch from Warren Williamson for strike one. He's really nailing that that sinker away to righties today.
Yeah, it's interesting. His velo is about in line where it is for the season, and he's starting to dial in the command. On the other side, the one way I can agree with you is that Castillo's velo is up, and maybe that's leading to a little bit of this yanking. I will have to point out
not a Yankee.
that Rob Arthur found that there is a hot hand in baseball, and that fastball small changes in fastball velocity are predictive. So if I had to, bet on one of these guys to continue putting zeros on the board, it might be Castillo, as much as Warren looks super nasty with all his movement today.
Yeah. By the way, I just made an exasperation because he threw a big sweeper and Williamson swung right over it. Actually, was kind of close to the previous one, but not as tempting. And even the sinker at 94, we're seeing a ton of sink on this today. We're seeing at 4 vert, and relative to the 16 vert four seamer, that's a huge difference of 12 inches in movement. That can be so effective for him. I mean, we're seeing some that are, you know, with that change up near the 0-0 land. Sorry, not 0-0 Y. And oh my gosh, he got the call on a backdoor four seamer, a two seamer that he should not have gotten.
That sinker was
too low.
But, you know, one thing that is interesting about Warren is that, and Michael King and even Castillo, is that they have two fastballs. And, you know, in the past, models have had struggled to kind of value two fastballs because, you know, who do I anchor to? What is the batter anticipating? And the truth of the matter is, the batter is anticipating a velocity, I believe, and has to time to a velocity. And having two fastballs can mean that two different shapes are arriving at the same velocity. And so you can see these guys playing off each other, playing the four seam, the two seam off each other. Now, at last at bat, when he throws the backdoor two seamer and gets the strikeout on the call, looking, the batter may have been anticipating a four seamer out there and thought it would stay true and stay away from the zone. So that's a way you can play the four seam off the two seam.
And I love that. I will say, for a lot of the time, it is more of a focus relative to the handedness. Generally, you will see sinkers more so to the same handedness, while you see more four seamers to the opposite, especially if a guy has somewhat of an even split of offerings. But Zach Wheeler proves that, like, no, four seamers and sinkers should be thrown like half and half to right-handers or same-handed. And
I think you should have almost always an even mix of fastballs just generally, because then it becomes really hard for the hitter to keyhole any type of movement or velocity.
I'm not in disagreement. I think hitting a sinker or a ball going away from you as an opposite-handed batter is easier, and it does open the door for a little bit more trouble. I mean, cutter four-seamer is what I say, even though it's not always the same velocity. As Warren's struggling a little bit here to get ahead of Rivas's 3-1 here with a badly missed changeup there.
Here's a question I've always had, though.
A lefty yet today for Will Warren.
You haven't seen a sink? Yeah. So, and the new way of doing it is maybe a high sinker. You can throw a high sinker that the lefty bat path doesn't reach up. And so, you know, the way that I've explained to it, and there is a hit from Rivas.
On an away four seamer at 94. And again, I hate away four seamers.
But, you know, the way it's been explained to me is that, like, you know, the sinker kind of goes away from righty to a lefty, goes away from the lefty and kind of in a way that might land on their barrel, especially with lefties maybe kind of leaning over the plate and having this kind of drop the barrel bat path, a lot of them. And I understand that. But what is weird is that the changeup has some similarities in movement profile to the sinker, and yet the changeup is a pitch that you're supposed to throw righty on lefty. So I've always been like, why does the changeup work but the sinker doesn't? And I think it must have something to do with A swings, or, you know, it must have something to do with velo.
Two answers for you. Mm-hmm. One, if it is a proper sinker, like this is actually with Will Warren, he actually utilizes it like a sinker. That actually is, again, it's close to the Y axis of zero, which is what you really want for a sinker, my gosh. And it is matched with this changeup there, and it's big separation from the four seamer. That you can actually do really effectively on upside down batters. You just go down and away and live there, and you get grounders, guys rolling over.
And it's almost like a power change because it has that two plane
exactly.
movement.
Exactly. So, but what I often see are more horizontal, like two seamer. And those are the ones that, right, you just essentially just push your elbow out more and you're able to really roll with that the opposite direction, or even just curl around it. It's not so hard to do that. That's a really nice sweeper there for strike one to Mastroboni, coming into the lefty over the plate, free real estate. The second part, though, is that lefty swings are generally more pull heavy than righty swings. And that means that the down away location is more susceptible for groundouts to roll over than it mm-hmm. is with right-handers. And that's where changeups live more so than, again, two-seamers and sinkers.
Oh, running two-seamer as opposed to,
right. So you don't see
Warren throwing, you know, these two-seamers on the bottom.
I'm in agreement with you. I don't like that 94-mile-per-hour four-seamer just on. There's a little tapper back to the mound at 0-2 on a breaking ball. And second and third now, effectively acting as a bunt with two away here at 49 pitches as well. Warren, this is going to be an important one here because you have an open base at first base. You have Polanco, but then you have Julio Rodriguez, a lefty and a righty. And it's really about what Warren is more comfortable with here. You don't want to give in to Polanco, who can be very pesky and get the ball into the outfield on the ground. He can really poke something away and actually get a run or two in quickly. So how would you attack Polanco here?
Very carefully.
That's a nice one. This is a frisbee sweeper today, guys.
Jorge Polanco has added about 3 inches of bat speed, 3 miles per hour bat speed from last year to this year. Has really rejuvenated himself in terms of his swing and his approach. And, you know, he's pretty dangerous in this iteration.
Oh, my gosh. So if you just compare the changeup and the sweeper that Warren just threw, the amount of movement differential might be something like 40 inches of horizontal.
And yet neither found the zone.
Unbelievable. Break both out of the zones
ball,
2-0 here.
As they say on the internet, ball.
2-0 pitch on its way, and there is another sweeper, and yet Polanco is doing this, as you said, very carefully. When you mentioned
Warren,
the
bat
speed,
you got nowhere to put him.
Yeah. You know my first instinct when I hear a bat speed is I want to know what the swing tendency is versus up and low. If a guy all of a sudden is swinging only at low pitches versus high, I mean, you know this, you actually do get a massive increase in bat speed for just by swinging at low. You have a sweeper 82 missing away, ball 4. Oh my gosh, you know, there's one word to react to that. Data. We got data. It's a 3-0 pitch that isn't a fastball. It's a sweeper. Kyle Bland and I are celebrating. We get more for our pitch models.
We're getting a lot of discussion in the chat about the origin of the word sweeper and the timeline. And
yes.
I'll try to fit some in here, but with Julio Rodriguez stepping to the plate with the bases loaded, it's a big moment in the game.
Absolutely, and there was almost a pitch clock running down and step off. Ooh, that was close. We will talk about that at the break here coming up after this inning. But yeah, you got to be very careful here, and you got him away with fastballs before, but it's got to be a sweeper. I mean, oh, there's a fastball 94, and it's fair down the line.
Oh,
that's
going to
empty the bases. It was a 94 mile per hour on the back door that he just lately just put the bat out and slapped.
And you know what just happened there?
It.
That's really interesting. That right there is the book on how to get Rodriguez out this year. He actually hit the spot exactly that most pitchers have been trying to throw. It's thigh high and away. He hit his spot, and Rodriguez has not been going the other way. He's been trying to pull that ball in the air all year. And what it's led to is an increase in strikeout rate and not great results. This is Rodriguez finally seeing enough of that you know, and putting the right swing on it at the worst possible time for Will Warren. I think Will Warren has pitched excellently today. I will have to say there have been walks to lefties.
Yes.
And he relies on his bendy stuff more to lefties.
There's a changeup that is up in a out and away, and Grisham dives and catches at the end of the inning. About that swing with Julio, I'm willing to say, by the way, only two runs scored. I apologize, I was not clearing the bases. So it's 2-0 Mariners at the end of three. I think the situation called for a different swing. That is a moment where you're not trying to hit a grand slam. You are literally just trying to get the ball in play and to give yourself a chance to score these two. And that means a shorter swing. That means a flatter swing. And that is the kind of swing we saw from Julio there. Just kind of putting the bat on the ball and barely keeping it fair as well. I mean, we're giving him a lot of praise for this, but that is 6 inches away from being nothing. It's strike one. You know, you want to talk about the internet, strike, right? Like, that's the response to that, right? So that's how baseball works. It's a game of inches, everyone. And Will Warren is pitching well, but to your point, inefficiently. That sweeper that has so much movement today only has a 40% strike rate. Only four of these sweepers out of 10 have returned strikes. At least last time I checked, and it's probably updated right now, I come to think of it. But that really proves your point. Talk to everybody about the sweeper for a second, because this is the new pitch type. So I'm saying yes, I'm saying no. I'm curious about your take.
I noticed in, I forget what year it was. I think it was 2020 or 2021. I noticed that the Dodgers kept picking up these guys with Frisbee sliders. And I'd been reading Barton Smith, who writes about seam shifted wake, which is just a way that the ball imparts movement that we've now been able to really kind of get a grip on. We now understand that the seams can do this, can create this kind of movement. And he talked about this pitch called like a looper. And I was like, oh my God, the Dodgers are throwing loopers. And the people that were throwing at the time were Evan Phillips and Julio Urias. And so I said, is there a Dodgers slider? And then, you know, Lindsay Adler was like, you know, the next year was like, I think the Yankees are throwing this pitch and they're calling it the Whirly. And
the Whirly Bird was Nick Pivetta. I remember that.
Yeah, and so they had this, like, they had the whirly bird, the looper, and so it wasn't necessarily that was Luis Castillo's opening bid to Anthony Volpe here with the fastball. But it's not necessarily a new pitch that's never been thrown before.
Right, and that's 83, by the way, from Castillo, down to 83, slider down away, but Volpe swings through it. I've always just considered it. I will say this to my grave. It is a curveball that you have a lower arm angle for. Instead of going over the top at the 12, you go it from the 3. And that's just what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a sideways curveball. I think that people have called it a frisbee in the past. Mm-hmm. There have been people, was it Chaz Rowe?
Oh, yeah.
I think
Chaz Rowe had the best one.
Had the big old frisbee. Corey Kluber's might have been a sweeper. Mm. But we've seen these very sideways things. Now, I do disagree with some of what's happened since, which is Savant has basically said, if you get like 10 inches of horizontal movement,
that's not it. No,
then you're a sweeper. And so some people have seen pitches that are designated sweepers. What was that? Was that a change?
That was a slider away at 86, tapped down into the ground for a foul ball. So it's 2-2 here to Volpe. He was just not really looking comfortable at all against Castillo.
But a true sweeper does not actually have as much downward movement. It does not have two plane movement. That's a slurve.
Yep. Oh boy, don't start me with that one. You have 95 down the middle, essentially, to Volpe, and that's a fly out to right
field. Volpe recently hurt his shoulder a little bit, and I wonder if that's going to start showing up in his batted ball stats. But so, you know, what's happening on the sweeper is that the seam shifted wake is actually keeping the ball from dropping. You know, the seam shifted wake is actually pushing the ball up and keeping the ball up. And so what you get is basically, like what we said, a sideways curveball, a frisbee that doesn't drop as much as the batters expect. And often the batters will swing under it.
Yeah. It's wild, isn't it? There's a quick out. And look at you. You were predicting this thing. 11 pitch inning for Luis Castillo coming back out as he just got a one pitch fly out to Domingo.
He's like four pitches in. He's got two outs, right?
Yeah. Dominguez. Jason Dominguez. Jesus. So what is that? Six pitches thus far for Castillo. You got five to go here. And Eno, I will have seen the light. You know, just listen to him, guys. Here's the first pitch to DJ LeMahieu. There's a sinker inside, and I love that attack. I'm such a huge fan of sinkers trying to go inside a righty to get a quick out. LeMahieu takes it, though. It's a little bit too far inside, 1-0.
Tier Zero Hero does have a point. He's saying that, you know, naming it puts it on the radar, know how to talk about it precisely. And I think that's totally it. What's happened,
right?
The reason that it did get named, the reason that it matters, is now you have guys like Michael King who throws a regular slider and a sweeper.
Yep.
You have guys who throw multiple sliders, and you can't, you know, call for a slider as a catcher and not know which one's coming. You can't, as an analyst, be able to break down a pitcher that has two or three sliders and not break them into pieces. Otherwise, right, you'll think, oh, he has just one amorphous slider that, you know, isn't very consistent. No, actually, he has a gyro slider that doesn't have much movement and a sweeper that has a lot.
Absolutely. 3-0 pitch on its way. It's fastball 95 down the middle as Castillo missed with three.
He's
previous
being
ones
way too careful with the corpse of DJ LeMahieu, dude.
I don't think he was being too careful. I think it was really just got on the side of the ball a couple times.
Yeah.
And that sometimes happens. But that was right down the middle there. And then there's a fly ball to right field down the line. Is it fair? It is foul. Wow. Oh, gosh. I wanted Eno to hear his words. Oh, boy. You could feel the sweat on his forehead.
I did sweat a little bit. I was like, oh, no, not after I just made that joke. Come on.
And let's be honest, I'm the one to blame here, as that is the 11th pitch of the inning from Castillo. So this will be the 12th.
He'll get him out on this one.
I jinx the thing, of course.
I'll be one pitch off.
It doesn't matter. Don't worry too much. And there is that fastball fouled back at 96.
Pretty I won't be totally on it.
We have a 3-2 pitch on its way. There's a fastball just above the zone at 97. 97 is the hardest we've seen today from Castillo in the fourth inning.
That was frustration.
64th pitch. Oh, no.
He's like, I should be getting this guy out.
Yeah, he should. Not a single non-fastball in that at bat to DJ LeMahieu. And I will say, I think a lot of people have been throwing sweepers over the years. We just didn't have a way to describe it as much. Guys have been taking a curveball and then taking it on the side. Rich Hill was throwing one. That's what that thing was for so long. You have a fastball 95 away to Escarra, the eighth batter for the Yankees. And that is 0-1 as the pitch count is starting to climb more and more. We're at 65 now with two outs at the top of the fourth for Luis Castillo. Big pebble. Oh, man. That was Mr. F instead of Big Rock. Or it was Small Pebble versus Big Rock. That was Luis Castillo versus Luis Castillo.
Yeah, Luis Castillo, the senior, is El Piedro or something. Like the stone, the big stone or something, the big boulder.
Rock. He's a rock.
And then,
Have 1-1 here in the eighth inning. Oh, there's a fastball right at the top right corner away from Escarra for a strike at 95. Yeah, and yeah, you're seeing exactly what you're talking about. You know, about, all right, Castillo's not really going to the changeup, not being as careful.
How would you like to show up to work and everyone decides that your nickname is a derivative of somebody else's, that you're just just like little version of
I mean,
of
how
that
does
guy.
Ginger Guard feel?
Yeah, right.
You know, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't like it, and I totally understand that. Oh, man. I mean, Mr. Saris, how does it feel?
Little Nick.
No, I mean, like, your name is Eno, and named after Brian Eno, I assumed.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Well, you know what helps is that we don't work in the same field.
Oh, well, hold on a second. Coming through now.
Here's my band.
I'd like to welcome in. All right, 2-2 pitch, two outs here to Escarra, and it's going to be a fastball 96 away. You can even see the glove flash up at the beginning, you know what to expect watching. And it's pretty fun. I can actually feel
point that I'm going to have to see to you the point that he's struggling.
This is more than
I thought he would have to work to get to the bottom of the order.
Yeah, this is true. And this is a bad sign for Castillo here. 2-2 pitch on its way. You know, you can feel like a batter at times when, if you're looking at the catcher and you get those hints of like, cool, this is what a fastball reception looks like. And then all of a sudden it's a sweeper. It feels so much filthier because you have no anticipation for it. And those moments are so fun. I wish catchers would deke us out, the viewer, a little bit more. 3-2. Looks like a fastball's coming in. It is pushed to the shortstop. Actually, it's the third baseman shifted. Shortstop position, and it's ground out. And we are still shut out for Luis Castillo against the Yankees in Seattle. However, the top of the fifth is going to be tough. You're going to see a lot of the 9-1-2 coming as he's getting over 70 pitches now. I'm curious what that's going to look like, but we've got more Will Warren coming after this commercial break. Asher asks Eno Saris ambient album when?
I enjoy the Brian Eno humor. Lou Monte's talking about music for dugouts. Brian Eno was one of his most famous works was Music for Airports, which I'll have to point out was not the Brian Eno that I was named after. That's the Brian Eno that came after I was named after him. The Brian Eno I was named after did better music.
Two musical Brian Enos?
Oh, there's a lot, dude. He created, he's credited with creating glam rock. And so I was named after kind of the David Bowie.
Just two versions of him.
Yes.
Okay. I was about to say, there's not a second person named.
No, he's had a very interesting, he's had a very interesting musical career. So he was like basically David Bowie before David Bowie.
Right.
And then he produced, he was the guy who brought the synthesizer to 80s music in a big way. So he was a big Talking Heads, Roxy Music guy. He produced them. But then he also produced U2, you know, and
right. Oh, that's right.
He did Zooropa. And then he created ambient music, and now he does music installations. So he does like soundscapes for museums.
Oh my gosh. All right, two things quickly. One, if you guys ever meet me, I'll tell you my David Byrne and David Bowie stories, which are one's with my parents meeting David Bowie and hanging out with him, and one is a horrible concert. and the other is the other thing I do want to mention is what is it? Songs from the Airport? Was that it? The album?
Yeah, Songs from Airport.
You got to do Songs from the Clubhouse then.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I'll make it with you. I'm a musician. This will be a great time.
It's a lot of reggae
fun. And you are the biggest achievement of all of them, says Lou Monte the Seventh. And I absolutely agree. I cannot. And by the way, Brian Eno apparently made the startup sound for Windows 95, which is.
I told you, he's all over the place.
Oh my gosh. So are you. Right here on playback.tv/pitchers, watching this live game. This is a really cool thing. This is going just as I expected in the best way and more. I hope you're all having fun listening to this. That's a sweeper away from Will Warren to Arozarena at 83 miles per hour. Feldoff is now 0-2 after a first pitch fastball. And I'm really just getting more and more enamored with the breaking stuff of Will Warren. I know the consistency certainly isn't there, but it's so promising. Oh, yeah, it's just such a filthy 82 pitch.
It's really nice, and I also just feel like I want this to be true. I'm clicking to make sure it is true. I mean, 9 curveballs today, that's a good number for him. That's more than usual, and I want that for him.
There's a fastball really tight about Arozarena. How did he not go? That was a check swing sword at the top of the zone at 93, that flat attack angle. He thought it would be sinking more. It didn't. I really think he should have gotten that one, and you're not wrong about the curveball. He's usually around 5% usage. It's at 16% today, 24% against right-handers. Actually, exclusively against left-handers is that curve, while the sweeper goes between both lefties and righties.
I guess there is an archetype he belongs to, though, which is just like not the greatest fastball, but good secondary stuff.
Guardians. It's the Guardians.
Yeah, he's probably, you know, one thing when I was trying to compare him to Michael King was that, what are you... He's so excited about it. He hits Randy Arozarena and you're excited.
No. The stupidest thing. This was a 3-2 sweeper. And a 3-2 sweeper that came in too far. And it's ball 4, except it hits Arozarena, which means his whip does not go up.
Oh. There is such. Do you know that for some reason intentional walks don't go into WOBA?
I started to see this whole thing about it, and I think it's dumb, but I understand the mentality of it because it's trying to assess the skills, and that's a managerial decision assessing the skill as opposed to the actual skill
here's
of hitting,
my point though
of having you, the plate discipline. So they assume the normal event of that player for the event.
Yes, but the it, like is a, it is a it is a decision by the umpire, by the opposing manager. However, it is a decision by the opposing umpire that is informed by your skill.
Right.
They don't but give it's not IBBs a uniform to anybody.
One is the point. Is like an intentional walk for me versus someone else or whatever, and I get one is not the same. And that's why you that's where you have
because some teams won't intentionally walk you and some teams will.
And some will walk like the most ridiculous things. Like, what are you doing? You're walking Soto to get to Judge? Like, what are you, okay?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, stuff like that. So there is Rowdy Tellez again swinging on this curveball away and thinking it's the sweeper coming back and just missing. It's 2-2 as we've, of course, just completely glossed over this moment. Man on first, 2-2, bottom of the fourth, 2-0 Mariners as Warren's about to deal his 66th pitch to Rowdy Tellez. It's got to be another curveball after that pitch. And it is. It just doesn't get close enough to the plate. Easy take there from Tellez down and far away from the plate. And young Randy Johnson cut his walk rate a few 3-0 hit by pitches. Now again, says tier zero hero. Might as well. Right. Just kidding. E1 should count as whip calculation, says respect for Josh Gibson. Absolutely deserves respect. And there's a really nice changeup, but fouled off by Tellez in a 3-2 count, too. Wow.
We're pretty close to watching the ideal version of Will Warren right now. I feel like, I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, the only thing that I would quibble with is maybe just a few more fastballs, especially now that he's thrown so many secondaries. I feel like he can almost pitch backwards and surprise them with some fastballs. With the way we saw,
I absolutely agree here. There's a fastball down at 94.
He's trying to do it.
Got the umpire too because it was a little low for the big boy Tellez. And I mean, it looks like the baseball just clips the top of it.
And I think Rowdy takes that pitch because he says, you're just throwing me another breaking ball into the zone again.
Yeah. Amazing pitch there from Will Warren. And what we are seeing against lefties is 17% sweepers, 33% four-seamers, 26% curveballs, and 24% changeups. So that's
right.
67%.
That's 33% slow fastballs against lefties.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm with you there. I think actually the sinker can be used down in a way to get those quicker outs against lefties instead of battling that sweeper that has a 33% strike rate today, or the changeup that has a 30% strike rate.
You can also
overall.
You can also see from some of his issues with the command that he may not be a great candidate for the front door two seamer.
Oh no, I would not agree with that at all. And also considering it's more emphasized on sink, I would think you don't really want to get into that place where you want
you're
low.
Aiming
actually,
at the
inside,
batter's
belt. You don't want low. You want middle and up.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful backdoor breaker for strike two to Varus, who is wondering if I'm grounding a ball out this time, I'm going to slide.
I do wonder, you know, Warren used to throw a cutter. And I just think, you know, it's something that didn't break would be interesting because he's throwing all these things that break so big. Something that didn't break, basically, compared to that, you know, might be like he could throw a cutter on the outdoor corner on the outside corner to a lefty, and they would think it was a sweeper.
Right. Also, there is a big breaking ball down and in and foul tipped into the mitt for strike three. Tavares, how is that not a whiff? I don't understand. We'll call it foul ball strikeout. Okay.
Yeah,
94 in there for
he
a strike.
He fouled the ball.
What's that?
He fouled the ball. That's why it's a foul
ball. But there is no such thing as a foul tip to me. Like, it's a foul ball or it's a whiff. Sorry.
We're talking about millimeters.
Well, I'm talking about the differences between my stats and Fangraphs's, and it really is annoying that everyone yells at me about swing strike rates being different. I'm like, you guys do it wrong. I'm so sorry. I'm just sorry.
Well,
0-2 pitch coming, by
the
way,
to
Williamson, as he's doing a lot better at getting those strikes in this inning. There's a fastball away, 95. The runner is going, and he is very much safe. Good job there from Volpe to hold the glove on Rosarena as the ball goes.
Escara has not been showing us the very best catcher defense today.
This is true.
He threw
that
ball.
How do you feel about the new Dodgers catcher coming out, by the way? Number one prospect.
I guess he's going to play the outfield.
Is he going to get a lot of playing time? Do you think he's going to make a big impact there?
I don't know. I'm predisposed against catching prospects when they come up because I feel like their jobs are so difficult. And what you find in the numbers is their peaks are later, their offensive peaks are later, and they just are generally not a great bet on something like fantasy where you're just trying to get their offensive numbers.
Yeah, that makes all the sense. And that's the last time I'm going to talk about a hitter right now. There's a curveball in the dirt for a 1-2 pitch, well blocked by Ascara, and it's 2-2. If you're Williamson, you're really just trying to get something to poke into right field and get Rosarena home, not trying to do much, just survive. Look for the breaking ball, and if it's a fastball, hope that your bat is just slap enough with a sword to stay alive. 2-2 pitch on its way here. Fastball is going to be upstairs, and it is at 92, though. We're not seeing it getting pushed to that 93, 94, especially in this big situation to end an inning. You would normally get it.
He's a little bit vulnerable inside. What does Warren have that he can throw him inside for a whiff? Possibly right-on-right changeup situation.
It would be, or you could honestly just throw a sinker. Right,
throw a sinker low and inside. Yeah,
we're really trying to aim on that because we do see sometimes it has less sink, and that would absolutely jam him here. You have a sinker.
He's trying to go for that.
Has the changeup movement, but at 94, and there's something to be said if that's a changeup, he whiffs because the velocity at 94 allows him to get the timing right of it while the movement and the adjustment of it. But if it's a changeup, he's out in front because there's no way he gets that at a 6 mph difference. So yeah, I think it does mean that you have the changeup here at 2-2. We'll see what we get. To Williamson, there is a front hip sweeper. It comes back over the plate, and it's popped up to right field for an easy out, and that ends the inning at 79 pitches. I think we have one more inning left here that we're going to cover. Because relievers, I know they're part of the game. I know.
I was about to say, hitters are part of the game. That you have to know something about the hitter to know how you want to pitch him.
That is true. At the same time, I'm going to be a massive proponent of if you nail your things well, does not matter.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, it's I've always said this. I had this really bad coach. I know I feel weird saying this, but like this guy was like the worst. He would yell at me, just throw strikes when I'm throwing into a canyon of like a landing foot because I'm pitching in Brooklyn Fields, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm like the best control guy on this team. Like, stop. You see this mound. Like, stop yelling at me. Throw strikes.
It's really, so, really helpful. Thanks, coach.
Yeah. So there's a guy on second, and I look back at him, and I see him. I'm about to throw a curveball, and I see the guy. You know, he's there, and he's literally just putting down two fingers with his hands as he's, like, on the base pass. I'm like, oh, okay. So I actually step off, and I bring out my catcher. He's a new catcher. And he doesn't really know about like mixing signs and stuff. I'm like, we're going to do this really simply. You're going to put down three signs. The second one isn't what I'm going to do. I just need to do something right now for this guy in a second, but we can figure something out more later. You know, so I do that and figure it out. You know, and I remember the catcher being like really aggressive with it, be like, 1-2-1, you know, like figuring it out as he does it. And we get out of the inning and it's fine. And my coach pulls me aside because he's upset. And I'm like, what are you upset about? I just did like some brilliant thing. The guy would have known my curveball. I'm like, it doesn't matter if he knows it. You just got to execute it. I don't care.
What do you think? He was showing somebody up or?
No, he hated it because I was just taking more time.
Oh, he just wanted to be home. He wanted to be over.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Right. Like I have to teach this catcher something, you know, and he got it on the fly. And I got out of that inning. And but it always stuck with me of like it doesn't matter if he knows it, if you execute it, you got it, you know. And I was like, you know what, you're not wrong necessarily.
I mean, we're watching like, two pitchers that are pitching pretty well, there's not many runs scored, and they're also missing by a lot,
right? And there's a changeup. Oh, slap him, line drives to first. Is he gonna beam to the bag? Castillo does.
Oh, what a great play.
Wow, Tellez deflected it. Picked up by the second baseman, Mastroboni, and then Castillo.
Where did
hustled.
That hit, Rowdy? I thought it hit him in the gut for a second, but I think he might have got a glove on it.
Oh my gosh, incredible play.
Rowdy dives.
One away.
Gets a glove on it. Doesn't get it all the way. Second baseman picks
man,
it up.
Oh man, you don't slide. Ascara tried to do the leg first slide. I mean, obviously to save health with Tavares getting completely trucked before and seeing Castillo coming close to the bag late. For self-safety reasons, good play. There's another changeup, second one thrown here to a lefty that is missed and hit hard down the right
field. I was going to make a Garrett Cole joke, too, by the way, CAS. Castillo,
oh, man. Garrett Castillo Cole
fielded his position like a pro.
Oh, gosh. I feel like there's such a mental image in my head of someone pointing to something that isn't, there's no one there. Like just pointing to nothing.
That there's the bag I should be at right now.
I feel like, honestly, I feel like he's a 2-year-old pointing at something and you're a parent, but like, what? What is it? Oh gosh, there's a 0-1 fastball tugged too far inside to Grisham. As Grisham, I gotta say, I love the mustache so much. He can grow he can grow a beard now. It doesn't matter. The mustache is
he likes cowboy boots too. So he's got this kind of
It's perfect. Cowboy. Oh, there's a fastball 96, identical to the one that he sent almost out of the yard. And what is very interesting is that Castillo's worst opportunity to allow a run was the very first batter of this game, as the Yankees have been shut out since.
And he hasn't looked incredibly precise, but he's putting zeros up.
And there's something to be said about vets figuring out a way, right? We've said this before. You said this last year about Valdez and about Gallen in the past. Here's Castillo. Mm-hmm. And there's something about this, the will to win from these vets. But it really, I think it's highlighted more so of these prospects that have that just looser floor, right? Called the shag rug, the young man's floor. That they are more susceptible to those big clunker outings, while vets understand the little adjustments and how to get through games just a bit better to avoid those. As, of course, Castillo does not make the adjustment.
He's still yanking it.
And now tugs in a fastball, and Grisham doesn't realize it's ball four, and now he finally does.
I think today he's had poor command to his glove side.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that.
One of his ways of dealing with that has been to stay away to lefties, I think, for the most part.
Now, there are times to do that, times not, right? With the changeup, absolutely. Fastball, we saw him get burned on a 94-mile-per-hour middle away, right? We've seen that a couple times, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right about upstairs middle in a way the fastball has been working. And there's a fastball down the middle, and what do you know? You get two. Is a ground ball up the middle. Oh, my gosh, and that's it. Done. Bam.
That's what he needed.
Wow, you know,
there's a short pitch inning.
Yeah, right. I call it Koufax. This is my my way of saying a guy got fortunate with BABIP. Is mm-hmm. I just say Koufax gave you his good graces today.
Mm-hmm.
And the ultimate omnipotent baseball god, pitching god, is Sandy Koufax in that way.
Is that what happened here though? I mean, no. What are his?
That was 96 down the pipe to Ben Wright.
Five strikeouts, like, 2 walks, 4 hits in 5 innings. That's.
I wouldn't say Koufax for this entire start. Absolutely not.
Oh, just that double
just
play
that
came at the right time.
Was like, yeah. Boy, that was a dangerous pitch to Ben Rice that just not only got an out, but then ended the inning for you.
Look at Warren, 4 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk.
Right. Is that kind of surprising at times as you watch a game? You're like, okay, he's fighting for this a little bit. But ultimately, yeah, well, Warren has missed.
If I looked at this in the box score, I'd be like, he dominated, which I would have to say it's been good. This is what I've wanted for Warren. This is what I thought was possible for him. Mm-hmm. And I think there even could be a couple more wrinkles, maybe a cutter, maybe a little bit more fastball usage that could unlock a little bit more. But you have to, there's always this underlying thing where he is in Seattle and it does increase strikeout rates, you know?
Right.
And that's
right.
You can't get too excited about a start like this, even if you are excited about him as a player, because, you know, even as the Mariners are improving, you know, that they actually have one of their best offenses in a while.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a murderer's row of an offense, and it's a park that's helping him. So Warren for me is still somebody that should be owned everywhere. I'm not, you know, like 10 team leagues, it gets a little bit hectic. Maybe not.
Oh yeah.
There.
I mean, yeah. Rostering Will Warren makes a lot of sense to me, especially with just the circumstance, like you're on the Yankees and you're stretched down enough to go 5 innings. Unless we see, I was about to say, is Warren out of the game now?
He might have
pitches. He's coming
Texas
in here.
Next. At home, and then he might be at Colorado after that. So
I'm okay with that. Colorado, that is just like a historically bad offense.
Mm.
And we've seen a lot of guys go in there and just cook.
I would love to see that. I'd love to see him play in that game, and like I have like video of it up right now, and just be like, this is what a sweeper looks like here, and here's what it looks like in Colorado.
Eventually on these playback streams, we will do that.
Yeah.
I've talked to the guys at Playback, and I've talked about one of my biggest requests is being able to create our own version of the broadcast, being able to actually put in images and video on our own onto this canvas of a broadcast. We cannot wait for that, because really, I mean, this is going to be our last half inning here, guys, and I want to just have a massive thanks to Enoceris for going along with this. I just kind of said, we're going to do this. Don't worry about it. He's like, oh, okay. You know, and this is fun. This is really a showcase to me of what Playback is about in these live streams, because, yeah, we could just talk about this game in a way that I think is engaging with everybody in chat. We can have you guys leaving comments as we did. That's beautiful. Front hip.
Yeah. Thanks to all the people who that said anything in the chat, because this is a big difference between even having announcers that you like do the game. They can't necessarily see your comments in real time. So that was really fun to be able to answer questions and, you know, include your jokes and include you in part of this.
And the thing is, too, I promise I will try my best to get better at play-by-play. And that is a Vesla 93 away line drive to Volpe. Hopefully I can be color more. But I don't know. I kind of think the play-by-play is a...
One thing that I would say about it is that if we're watching on TV, you don't actually have to do each one. I mean, that's the difference between TV play-by-play and radio play-by-play. Radio play-by-play... Sure. You know, has to do everything, has to tell you what's happening in the game. Whereas TV play-by-play, you can take pitches off, I think is basically the answer.
Absolutely.
But otherwise, we can't get the game out.
A breaking ball down and in. It's just, it's fun for like, I feel like Vin Scully a little bit. Just off speed. And there's a pitch down. Will Woman's mother talked to me the other day.
Oh, that one right there is an interesting thing. Last year, the Mariners were very good at pulling the ball in the air. They were in the top five, and they weren't that good at two strike counts and going the other way. And what we see here is Jorge Polanco going the other way for a single. And this year, with Kevin Seitzer and Edgar Martinez basically as the DNA of their hitting coaching, they are now top 10 in pulling the ball in the air and top 10 in going the other way on the ground. And another offense that's like that is the Tigers, who have been kind of overperforming. And what you see from those offenses is a combination of power and contact. And it's kind of, it's a duh moment, because you're like, oh yeah, take the ball where it's pitched and, like, you know, have a good two strike approach. But, you know, organizationally, sometimes you can fall into traps where you're like, hey, the pulled ball in the air is the best thing you can do. Let's all do that. You know, and you forget
the broad label. It's not the nuance thing. I mean, that's just easy. You want one answer.
Situational awareness
plus process plus. We just want one, and it's like, well, yeah, but we got to actually get into the nitty gritty of it. And it's 100% right. I love it. Polanco also doing exactly why we don't like away fastball stops and handed pitches, because batters, you just push it the other way like that, and it's not hard to do. It's like one of the easier things to do as a hitter. And a good job there. And here's Julio. This is one of the bigger at-bats here, because this is two outs. 87th pitch was just thrown, so it's going to be 88 here. 1-0 to Julio. This is the last batter Will Warren will face, bar none. We have guys warming up right now, right? The lefty for the next batter, who is Kyle Rowley, I assume. And we've got two sweepers missing. What do you know? Let's just get that strike rate under 30%, baby.
I think he's willing to walk this guy. he does not want part of Julio Rodriguez right now.
Oh gosh. So we'll see how Warren attacks this, because they're all,
look at that, Julio. Three straight sweepers.
Julio. Oh, there's a 2-0 sweeper that just misses out of the zone down and away, and
Julio was like frustrated. He's like, are you gonna only throw me sweepers? He's like, this one might be close enough where I can hit it.
Yeah, but don't. How about just don't?
Don't.
And there is a sinker inside 93, but here's the problem. This is what impressed me about Castillo, is that he threw a lot of these sliders, all of a sudden threw a fastball and got it. And then Warren here doing the same, not so much. It was a fastball inside, the way inside. And it would have been effective against Julio. It would have been a good surprise at 2-1. Now it's 3-1. And you don't really know what you're going to get. Probably another sweeper here. We'll see. There's a sinker at 93.
That
gets
was
into the
beautiful
zone. Yeah, really. You need that to be a strike pitch, because Julio wasn't going to swing. So normally I would say he sinkers inside off the plate.
That was an almost ideal location for a right on right sinker. Just
what is the pitch here? You know, here it is. 3-2, two outs. Your last batter.
Sweeper away. He's not.
I want it to be a change up inside. I want a change up right now. There's no way.
Are you kidding me?
Julio doesn't whiff on it if you actually throw it.
He's throwing a sweeper away.
I know he is.
Look at him setting up for a sweeper away right now.
Sweeper,
oh, is a sweeper in the zone?
Middle of the plate.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Back. Oh, yes, it is. Wow. I'm just kidding. That is caught at the warning track. I'm not at the stadium. That was a meaty, hanging 85 sweeper. And the
that got way too
it,
much zone.
The Studley pose. The camera being like, where's the fielder? I don't know. I just got the ball. Grisham lazily, or not Grisham, but whoever's Jason Dominguez Based lazily on, going back to the warning track. I'm like, there's no way this pitch is still here, and it was. So he gets out of it. Finally throws a sweeper for a strike. I just want to say my tagline. Okay, I have a tagline, you know.
You have a home run, you have a home run call?
That pitch ain't coming back.
I like it.
It's pretty good, right?
Oh my God.
You know, this was awesome.
I think I would just like yell out random condiments, like, put some cheese on it.
Where's the relish?
Yeah, where's the relish? You know, what's fun about that one is I could have like different variations on it.
Dude,
would,
should,
none of them would
okay,
make any sense.
It. So when Eno is here.
I just like yell out food items.
Two scoops Shepherd's of ice cream. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, here's the thing. You know, we're establishing this. This is the first time we've ever done a live broadcast podcast. I actually had multiple people be like, what is that? And I hope it was fun for you guys. Obviously, a little bit longer on this one. We'll likely, if we do this in the future, find a way to, you know, make it a little bit more seamless as a podcast. I don't know, maybe shorten it. I will figure it out. But I can't thank you all for listening to this one. Eno, I hope you had a great time with it. This was so fun. This is like, I think, the experience that we actually want as analysts. If we could just do this and not all the other stuff, that would be kind of the dream a little bit. Maybe we can get there eventually. But Eno, what are you working on right now? What should people be on the lookout for at The Athletic?
I've got five pitchers, young pitchers with good stuff and bad results coming up on Friday. And as always, you can find me at Rates and Barrels and a little podcast called The Craft.
Oh, The Craft, a pitching podcast. That's right. And Kessie is out for the sixth, but we are not going to cover that. And that is going to do for this episode of The Craft. My name is Nick Pollock. Thank you so much, Eno Saris. And we'll talk about The Craft of Pitching again next week.